Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem of Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Ein Vav, the seventh parak, Ketzad Tzolim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was stated Chamuto Cham Dibrei Kol Aser. If a hot food fell into a hot beverage, or vice versa, and it's a case, as Rashi explains, where the absorption would make it forbidden, such as meat with milk or is with heter, everybody agrees that it's aser. Sonen Toch Tzonen Dibrei Kol Mutter. If something cold fell into something cold, all agree that it's mutter. If something hot fell into something cold, or something cold fell into something hot, it's machlokas. Rav says, the upper one dominates, which Rashi explains means that if something hot falls into something cold, the upper one heats up the lower one before the lower one can cool it. Since they're then both heated, they absorb from each other. On the other hand, if something cold fell into something hot, the falling one cools off the lower one before the lower one can heat the falling one. Shmuel says, Tatagavar, the lower one dominates. Rashi comments that although the halacha generally follows Rav over Shmuel in matters of Isurim, in this case, the halacha follows Shmuel because he is supported by two brises brought in the Gemara. Point number two is taught in a brisa, Tzon letoch tzonen mediach. If something cold was placed into something cold, one merely rinses it. Rav Huna said, Loshanu el shalomachu. They taught this only concerning a case where one had not salted the forbidden item. But if one had salted it, the other one is forbidden. For Shmuel said, Maliach hayu karoseach. That which is salted is like that which is hot, which means that salted food has the same capacity as hot food to transfer its juices. However, it doesn't absorb juices like a hot food. Therefore, if the permitted component was salted, it would not absorb the prohibited juices. Shmuel also states, Kavush haru kamavushal. That which was marinated is like that which is cooked. Rashi explains that if a permitted food was marinated in vinegar together with a forbidden food, it's considered as though they had been cooked together, and the forbidden food is presumed to have spread throughout the entire permitted food. Rava said that Shmuel's statement that that which is salt is like that which is hot was said only shalom ne'achol machmas machu, where the salted food is unfit to be eaten on account of its saltiness, which Rashi explains means that the food's unpleasant to eat unless it's rinsed. And point number three, Rav said, Basar shchuta shamin shitzalim basar nevela kachush aser. If fatty meat of a shechted animal was roasted in an oven together with lean meat of a nevela, it's forbidden. Mitpatmi mahadadi, they are fattened by each other. Rashi explains that the two meats do not touch, yet the kosher meat absorbs the aroma of the nevela. Now, even though the lean nevela does not give off a strong aroma, it absorbs the aroma of the fatty kosher meat and is subsequently fattened and then emits aroma which is absorbed by the kosher meat. Levi said that even if lean meat of a shechted animal was roasted together with the fatty meat of a nevela, it's permitted because recha ba'amahu v'reach lab milsa. This is a case involving the transfer of aroma, and aroma is not a factor. Levi ruled in an actual case in the house of the Reish Galusa involving a goat that was roasted near a pig, that the goat was permitted. So once again, the three points are number one. It was stated, Cham tocham dibrei kol aser. If a hot food fell into a hot beverage or vice versa, and it's a case, as Rashi explains, where the absorption would make it forbidden, such as meat with milk or is with heter, everybody agrees that it's aser. Tzonen letoch tzonen dibrei kol mutter. If something cold fell into something cold, all agree that it's mutter. Cham letoch tzonen, tzonen letoch cham. If something hot fell into something cold, or something cold fell into something hot, it's a machlokas. Rav says, Ilal gavar. The upper one dominates, which Rashi explains means that if something hot falls into something cold, the upper one heats up the lower one before the lower one can cool it. Since they're then both heated, they absorb from each other. On the other hand, if something cold fell into something hot, the falling one cools off the lower one before the lower one can heat the falling one. Shmuel says, Tatagavar, the lower one dominates. Rashi comments that although the halacha generally follows Rav over Shmuel in matters of Isurim, in this case, the halacha follows Shmuel because he's supported by two brises brought in the Gemara. Point number two is taught in a brisa, Tzonen letoch tzonen mediach. If something cold was placed into something cold, one merely rinses it. Now Rav Huna said, Loshanu el shalomachu. They taught this only concerning a case where one had not salted the forbidden item, but if one had salted it, the other one is forbidden. For Shmuel said, Maliach hayu karoseach. That which is salted is like that which is hot, which means that salted food has the same capacity as hot food to transfer its juices. However, it does not absorb juices like a hot food. Therefore, if the permitted component was salted, it would not absorb the prohibited juices. Shmuel also states, Kavush har kamavushal, that which was marinated is like that which is cooked. Rashi explains that if a permitted food was marinated in vinegar together with a forbidden food, it's considered as though they had been cooked together, and the forbidden food is presumed to have spread throughout the entire permitted food. Rav has said that Shmuel's statement that that which is salted is like that which is hot was said only in the Echel Machos Malchut, where the salted food is unfit to be eaten on account of its saltiness, which Rashi explains means that the food is unpleasant to eat unless it's rinsed. And point number three, Rav said, Basa shchut shaman should sell him basa nebeo kachush aser. If fatty meat of a shechted animal is roasted in an oven, together with the lean meat of a nevela, it's forbidden. Mipatame mehadari. They are fattened by each other. Rashi explains that the two meats do not touch. Yet, the kosher meat absorbs the aroma of the nevela. Now, even though the lean nevela does not give off a strong aroma, it absorbs the aroma of the fatty kosher meat and is subsequently fattened and then emits aroma which is absorbed by the kosher meat. Levi said that even if lean meat of a shechted animal was roasted together with the fatty meat of a nevela, it's permitted. Because Recha ba'amahu v'Recha chlab milsa, this is a case involving the transfer of aroma. And aroma is not a factor. Levi ruled in an actual case in the house of the Reish Galusa involving a goat that was roasted near a pig that the goat was permitted. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Ein Vav, and this one comes to us by way of Yeshua Eisenberg, who suggested Ein Vav is an IV tube, an intravenous tube. So here goes. The patient who is treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. Once again, in slow motion. The patient who was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag. IV bag? That must mean we're on Duff Ein Vav. The patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, which reminds us, if something hot fell into something cold or something cold fell into something hot, where the absorption would make it forbidden, such as meat with milk or iser v'heter, there's malchokas. Rav says, ilagavar, the upper one dominates, which Rashi explains means that if something hot falls into something cold, the upper one heats up the lower one before the lower one can cool it. Since they are then both heated, they absorb from each other. On the other hand, if something cold fell into something hot, the falling one cools off the lower one before the lower one can heat the falling one. Shmuel says, tatagavar, the lower one dominates. So the patient who was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, sonu et sonen medich. If something cold is placed into something cold, one merely rinses it. And Rav Huna said that he taught this only concerning a case where one had not salted the forbidden item. But if one had salted it, the other one is forbidden. For Shmuel said, maliach hayukaraseach. That which is salted is like that which is hot, which means that salted food has the same capacity as hot food to transfer its juices. However, it doesn't absorb juices like hot food. Therefore, if the permitted component was salted, it would not absorb the prohibited juices. Shmuel also states, kavush harukamavushal, that which was marinated is like that which is cooked. So the patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. Which reminds Rav said, Basar shchut shaman should sell in basar nevela kachosh aser. If fatty meat of a shechted animal is roasted in an oven, together with lean meat of a nevela, it is forbidden. They are fattened by each other. Rashi explains that the two meats do not touch, yet the kosher meat absorbs the aroma of the nevela. Now, even though the lean nevela doesn't give off a strong aroma, it absorbs the aroma of the fatty kosher meat, is subsequently fattened, and then emits aroma which is absorbed by the kosher meat. Levi said that even if lean meat of a shechted animal was roasted together with the fatty meat of a nevela, it's permitted because Recha ba'amahu v'Recha chlab milsa. This is a case involving the transfer of aroma, and aroma is not a factor. So once again, the patient who was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blot back chazara. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simfer Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake to his yavama instead of his wife. Once again, in slow motion. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must mean we're on Duff Ayin Beis. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges whether Rabbi Yeshua holds that wherever the mitzvah has a kitzvah, has a limit, the person would be chayav achatas, based on a Mishnah on Shabbos, where Rabbi Yeshua holds that if one had two infants, one to circumcise on Erev Shabbos and one to circumcise on Shabbos, and the person forgot and circumcised the Erev Shabbos infant on Shabbos, he would be pater, since he was tov b'dvar mitzvah. He erred while attempting a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yami answered that at the time he circumcised the infant, there was still the Shabbos infant that preoccupied him, whereas in the case of the tamid, it had already been offered. Therefore, there was no longer a mitzvah to preoccupy him. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Lakish once said that if one confused the spit of noser meat with a spit of roasted sacrificial meat, and he ate the noser, he's chayv achatas. As Rashi explains that although eating kadshim is a mitzvah based on the pasuk, v'achlu osam asher kupar bahem, and they shall eat them, those who gained atonement through them, and the person erred while trying to perform a mitzvah, he's still chayv achatas since no mitzvah resulted. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, and then he brought a thick piece of cake to his yavama instead of his wife. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Shimon Lakish's statement by saying that if one inadvertently had relations with his wife while she was a nida, he's chayv achatas, whereas if he inadvertently had relations with his yavama while she was a nida, he's pater. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between the yavama and his wife? In the case of the yavama, he performs a mitzvah yibum during the act, and in the case of his wife, he also performs a mitzvah of procreation, so why then is he chayv when having relations with his wife? So the Gemara clarifies that his wife was pregnant where there is no mitzvah of procreation, even though we learn from Rava, chayv adam usameach ishto b'dvar mitzvah. If one sees that his wife desires him, he's chayv to give her joy with an additional mitzvah act. In this case, she was close to her veset, her menstrual period, when relations are forbidden. Therefore, the husband's intention could not have been to fulfill this mitzvah, and he's chayv achatas. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the symbol of Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The destructive cone who like to crack giant ostrich eggs. Giant ostrich eggs? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. The destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shekta pesuk no eaters brought on the mizbech, which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Chinina said to his son that when he goes before Rabbi Zirikai, he should ask the following question, according to the one who says, Mekalka b'chabura pater, one who acts destructively on Shabbos is pater, how can the Mishnah rule shchatu shalolochav chayv? Matik, and one who shekts a pesuk on Shabbos for those who cannot eat is chayv, what improvement did he effect? This is a purely destructive act, which he should not be chayv for, according to this opinion. So the Gemara answered, Tikkun im alav yerdu. He improved the animal insofar that once its emurim have gone up onto the mizbeach, they should not go down. Therefore, the shechita has served a constructive purpose. So the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shechita pesuk with no eaters brought on the mizbeach. While grazing Ashim on its way to be offered up as an Ola, which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that if an Ashim had been consigned to grazing and then someone shechted it before it had been developed a blemish with no specific intention, it's kasher as an Ola. So the Gemara asks that since we see that Rav holds Lo Boy Akira, that an offering's designation does not require a conscious Akira, rather its designation changes automatically, as Rashi explains that since now it stands to be used for the purposes of an Ola, there's no need to eliminate its previous status of an Ashim, then even if the animal has not yet been consigned to grazing, it should be valid as an ola. The Gemara answer is gezer l'acha kapara atu l'ifnei kapara. It's a gezer d'rabbanan that if an ashim is shechted after the owner has received kapara, but before it's consigned to grazing, it's not fit as an ola, because otherwise people might think it can be offered as an ola even before the owner received kapara. So the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the emurim of a shechted pesuk with no eaters brought on the mizbeach. While grazing Ashim on its way to be offered up as an Ola, saw the meat of an onerous Pesach being burned up immediately, which reminds us. Rav Chisda challenges Rav's view that a carbon does not require a kir, based on the Mishnah that states that if one shechted the Pesach on Shabbos and it then became known that the onerous had withdrawn from it, he's not liable to bring a chattas for being machal Shabbos. And a brisa was taught in reference to the Mishnah that if there was a case like that on a weekday, yisaref miyad, an animal should be burned immediately. Rav Chisda said that if you say that a carbon does not require a kira, then at the moment owners withdrew, it was a shlamim. And the reason for its disqualification is because of an external factor, that it was shechted after the tamid shel bein arba'im. If that's the case, the garment requires a change of appearance, meaning time should pass so that the meat looks different from losing its moisture, should not be burned immediately. The Gemara will bring a number of attempts to resolve the contradiction between Rav and the Braisa. Daf Ayin Dalet. So the Simra Ayin Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Dalet. The witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekuas helmet, which reminds us, there's a malchus regarding the method of roasting the pesach. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, we bring a spit of pomegranate wood and thrust it into the mouth of the carcass until it passes through its bottom, and one places its severed legs and its entrails inside it. Rashi explains that this is done to compile the pasuk, Sli Eish Rosha Al Krov Val Kirbo. Fire roasted its head with its legs and its entrails, which implies that these parts are to be roasted together with the body. Rabbi Kiva says, Kibin Bishu is that this is considered a form of cooking, Elatoin Chutzala. Rather, we hang the legs and entrails from the outside of the carcass. And Rabbi Shmuel would call the roasted Pesach Tuch Tuch, because he held that Rabbi Yossi agreed that the entrails were roasted inside the body cavity, and they would make the sound of tuch tuch, like food boiled in a covered pot. Rabbi Tarfon called the carbon pesach gidi makulas, a helmeted kid. He held, like Rabbi Kiva, that the legs and entrails were placed on the spit above the head of the animal, resembling a helmet on the head of a warrior. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large gidi makulas helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, which reminds the Mishnah said that a pomegranate spit was used. The Gemara explains the reason a metal spit is not used, since a part of the spit becomes hot through exposure to the fire. All of it, including that which is covered by the carcass, will become hot, and the carcass will be partly roasted on account of the heat of the spit rather than the fire itself. And the Torah states, Tzli Eish, v'lo Tzli Machm Zadav V'Achir. The Pesach must be roasted by fire and not roasted on account of something else. The Gemara goes on to explain that the reason why the spit cannot be brought from other woods, such as palm wood, fig wood, oak, carob, or sycamore, is that they secrete liquid, and it's as though the Pesach is cooked. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Makulas helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, threatening the person sitting peacefully roasting his meat on coals. Which reminds, the Gemara teaches that whenever Rav Acha and Ravina disagreed, Rav Acha was the one with the more machmir opinion, and Ravina was the one with the more makel view, and the halacha always follows Ravina, lilkula, except for three disputes where Rav Acha is more lenient and the halacha follows his opinion. The first dispute was regarding umsad da'asmik, a piece of meat that turned red on account of blood oozing from a vein. Now, if one cut it and salted it, it's permitted even for cooking in a pot. The cutting helps the collected blood escape more readily. If one roasted it on a spit, it's permitted for consumption because the blood flows out during the roasting. But if one places it on coals for roasting, one of them forbids it because the heat of the coals makes it shrivel, causing it to retain the collected blood. The other permits it because the heat draws out the blood. And the halacha is that the heat draws out the blood. Daf Ayin Hey. So the Simur Ayin Hey is an Am Ha'aretz. So here goes. The Am Ha'aretz. Am Ha'aretz. That must be one Daf Ayin Hey. The Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, if one cut the Pesach and placed it over coals, Rebbe said he considered it fire roasted. Rashi explains that he didn't cut the carcass apart, but rather he sliced it in several places so that it would roast quickly. Rav Chisa was asked if, in fact, Rebbe says coals are considered like fire, since the Torah stated, by Metzora, the word mikvah, burn, twice, it teaches us that saras on a burn also applies to a burn from a coal. So if the Torah had not included it based on the repetition, then one would not consider coal equivalent to fire roasted. So how could Rebbe consider a Pesach roasted on coals fire roasted without a special pasuk including in the Pesach? Rav Chisa replied that considering a coal from wood, no pasuk is necessary. The pasuk was only needed to include a gachel shel mesechas, coal produced from metal. So the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead, which reminds us. The Gemara brings the Gezer Shava, Sreifa Sreifa Bnei Aaron, burning burning from the burning of Bnei Aaron, to teach how someone condemned to burning is burnt, just as the burning refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact, so too here it refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. The Gemara asks why one needs to be burned with molten lead when immersing the person in boiling water would suffice, and answers that it's because of Rav Nachman's teaching, Amar Kra, Behaftarecha Kamocha, the Torah teaches you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Barulo Misayaf, choose from a favorable death, death by means of molten lead is less painful. So the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead in front of the Kohen Gadol, who was carrying a shovel full of hot coals. Which reminds us, Rava asked if Rebbe actually said coals are classified as fire, based on a conflicting brisa regarding the shovel full of fiery coals that the Kohen Gadol takes in the Kodesh Kodashim, that seems to indicate flickering coals are not considered fire. So Rava resolves the contradiction by reinterpreting the brisa. If the Torah had only said a gachale, it might be thought he should bring smoldering coals, not flickering ones. Therefore, it states eish. If it only stated eish, it might be thought he may take a burning piece of wood that is half coal and half flame, so that by the time he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, it should be entirely coal. Therefore, the Torah states, and he shall take a shovel full of fiery coals from atop the Mizbech. This teaches that from the time of taking from atop the Mizbeach, they should be coals. According to this interpretation, the Brice agrees with the Rebbe that a flickering coal is classified as fire. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from the second Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do the Malkos of Yossi Agulin or Bekiva how the Pesach is roasted? That's on daf. Ein Dalet. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that carrying out Sreifa with molten lead is considered a Misa Yafa because it's less painful? That's on daf. Ein Hey. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that Shmuel said that Maliach Hayru Kareseach and Kahavush Haru Kamavushal? That's on daf. Ein Vav. Good. Number four. Wish something when that an Ashim shechted an Azola after his owner got kapara, but before it went to graze, would be fit. If not for a gazera, people might do it before the owner got kapara. That's on Dav. Ein Gimel. Good. Number five. Wish something when the Rebbe holds that roasting over wood coals is considered fire roasted. That's on Dav. Ein Hey. Good. Number six. Wish of the one that a shlami shechted Erev Yantim cannot be brought as a shalmi simcha or chagiga. That's on daf. Ein off. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we have a malchokas rabbi shmo? Whether when a hot liquid and cold item or vice versa mix, whether the upper one dominates or the lower one does. That's on daf. Ein vav. Good. Number eight. Wish of the one that the kohen gadol must take a shovel full of coals off the mizbeach on Yom Kippur, not burning wood that is half coal and half flame. That's on daf. Ein hey. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we have malchukz, Rav Achan, Ravina, whether roasting over coal shrivels the meat, thereby trapping the blood, or it helps draw out the blood? That's on daf. Ein dalet. Good. And number ten. Which of the one that if one shechted a Pesach on a weekday, and then it became known that the owners had withdrawn from it, it should be burned immediately. That's on daf. Ein gimel. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which of the one the sources for Birchas Torah? That's on daf. Chaf Aleph and Brach. It's good. Number two. Which daf do we learn how to provide shade for rams on Shabbos? That's on daf. Kufbeis and Erevin. Good. And number three. Which daf do we discuss the Sandach HaMasumar? That's on daf. Samach and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.